February 3rd, 2022, Orange County Parks Commission meeting. Madam Chair, can you call the roll, please?
Chair Mueller.
Here.
Vice Chair Kuss.
Here.
Commissioner Ashland.
Here.
Commissioner Wellborn.
Here.
Commissioner Hansen.
Here.
Commissioner McCusker. Not here. Commissioner Schauber.
Here.
We have four.
Thank you very much. That's going to bring us to our public comment section of the meeting. Each member will have 3 minutes to speak on any item off calendar or off the agenda. We'll have a total of 30 minutes for this. If you want to speak, you do need to fill out a speaker form before you come up. I'll call you up as we get these. Please state your name and city of residence for us. Carrie Bobrowski. Corey? Carrie?
Sure.
Carrie, all right.
Carrie, do you want to do 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Good evening. I'm Carrie Bobrowski. I'm from Aliso Viejo, and I'm here tonight to represent the Rising community in Orange County. Pickleball players. Pickleball is a diverse sport that can be practiced by people of all ages, from kids to seniors. Unfortunately, there are not enough courts for everyone to enjoy this great sport. Over the last year, I've played religiously at Laguna Niguel Regional Park. Presently at the park, there are 4 permanent courts and 4 convertible courts, which occupy tennis court number 1. One would assume an adequate amount. One would assume incorrectly. We've experienced a boom in the growth of pickleball in Orange County, and this is a simple case of supply and demand. The demand is there to warrant an expansion of pickleball facilities at the park. What I'm proposing is to expand the coverage of converting additional tennis courts to pickleball courts. I've observed a reduction in utilization by tennis players, so it's a quick fix. The courts are still accessible to tennis players, but when vacant, they can be utilized by the pickleball community. We have the demand, we simply lack the supply to accommodate all our members. Our group's membership has grown to triple digits. On any given day, especially on weekends, we'll have 30 to 40 players at court number 1. 4 courts cannot adequately accommodate all these players. We would love to accommodate as many players as we can. Part of OC Park's vision is to connect people with diverse places, spaces, and experiences in OC Park so they will return and spread the word. Our mission is to grow the game of pickleball for all ages, levels, and abilities by creating and cultivating an environment that promotes health, social interaction, good sportsmanship, and fun by providing continuing skill and to enhance organized recreational and competitive play. Help us with our mission. We will spread the word. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is John Squigirium.
Try that name again.
No, I'm not trying again. I figured out who you are, so come on up. You got 3 minutes.
All right, my name is John Squigirium from Tustin. I also play at Laguna Niguel all the time. We started out as a group of 5 people, and as we played and played, more people would come into Laguna Niguel, and more. We've got over 100 people now, so from June and stuff, that constantly are coming in and wanting to play with us. As Barry said, Terry said, we only have 4 courts. And I sent pictures, I don't know if you've got pictures, but the tennis courts are empty, and we're all squished, 30, 40 of us squished, playing on just 4 courts. What we're looking for is if we can take one or more of the tennis courts and make them, put the lines in and stuff, and the tennis players could still play there, and when they're vacant, the pickleball players could go. And the community of pickleball players is getting stronger and stronger and wider and wider. It's even affecting parking, over by where we play. So we're here asking if the commission here could look at what's happening, identify, come and see that the tennis courts are not being used. The pickleball courts are just flooded with people, and we would hope that the commission would help us by making it a dual-use court, at least one more. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Our next speaker is Ed Mavres.
I have some pictures for you to look at. Members of the Parks Commission, good evening. Thank you for letting me talk. Yep. Thank you. My name is Ed Maurer. I live in Mission Viejo, and I'm speaking on behalf of Sierra Sage, the South Orange County entity of the Sierra Club. I want to talk about a trail along the left or east bank of Aliso Creek in the Aliso Wood Canyon Wilderness Park. This trail has been closed because of construction for over a year. I want you to know that the much delayed work on replacing the old sewer pipes with a new one has been completed. The new pipeline has been buried and the old dirt road replaced with a much wider trail covered with DG. This work was done under the permit of the California Coastal Commission issued to the South Orange County Wastewater Authority in Orange County Parks. I have a request. This new wide and DG-covered trail from Alicia Parkway all the way to the wastewater treatment plant ought to be opened as soon as possible, especially on weekends when no mitigation work would be in progress. As you know, this park has seen a lot of traffic, and opening this trail would alleviate pressure on the busy road and trail on the right-hand, right bank of the creek. You're familiar with this part of the trail from your inspection of the park headquarters last year. Please direct staff to open the left bank trail now. Secondly, I have a question. Why was decomposed granite used to cover the former dirt road? This new pavement, although natural and permeable, is incongruous in a wilderness area. I'm submitting a selection of pictures that show the trail before and after it was covered with DG, including a photo that shows the dirt road before this entire project was started. I hope you'll agree that the wide DG-covered road is a curious replacement of a dirt road, a rural dirt road that existed here before. Remember, this is a wilderness park, not Central Park in Manhattan. Last but not least, I want to add that the CCC restriction contained in the permit limited the work area to a width of 20 feet. This was violated in many instances, and we will make the California Coastal Commission aware of these violations at their meeting next week. We will also ask the Commission, the California Commission, to share with us the scope and schedule of remedial work that is required under the permit to revegetate this now damaged area. You can see that well in the pictures. In closing, I want to repeat my request to open this 3-mile trail as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Steve Feinberg.
Steve Feinberg, Aliso Viejo, California. As everyone knows, since COVID started 2 years ago, so many people want to enjoy the outdoors, and more people are going outdoors, and which created a little bit of a problem at the Laguna Niguel Regional Park. As most of you know, pickleball is exploding in popularity, and it's time to make adjustments on how the existing courts are utilized at the Laguna Niguel Regional Park. On a typical weekend, there could be 30, 40 people waiting to play pickleball, while only 2 people, or maybe even no people, are on the tennis courts. So there's 2 people playing, and then when there are 2 people playing on a tennis court, there's 2 people playing, and there could be 60 people playing pickleball on that court. So anyway, converting a tennis court to a tennis combination pickleball court allows both groups to utilize the same court as we do now on the one existing court on court number 1. This way everyone wins, and times have changed, and it's time to change with the times. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you very much. And just so the public knows, these are not agendized items, so we cannot have a discussion about these tonight due to the Brown Act. I appreciate you coming in and having your comments. Staff was here, they heard that. We are going to take a look at that, and we'll come back in and let you know what we find out. So thank you. If there are no more public comments, I'll go ahead and close the public comment section. That brings us to our consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar will be approved with one vote. Anybody want to pull this? David?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that passes. And that, we're on to our discussion calendar.
I have a question. Oh. Is it possible to move items around on, we'll most of the time in the new year start with the election of the new officers prior to getting work done, A. I also see a lot of people here waiting that is in item B, that we could meet them and they could maybe be on their way before we start our business.
Are you asking?
So I was going to make a motion to
move item B forward?
Bring up...
You don't have to make a motion. You can ask me to.
I would like to bring up D and B and get that done prior to the other new work, if that makes sense. If you want to keep the meeting for yourself today.
Well, the only reason I put it at the end is almost every other agency I sit on, you do it at the end, because...
And maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought we always did it first, but that's
okay. That's okay. I mean, if this committee wants to do it that way, that's fine. But usually we do it at the end because the vice chair, whoever's going to be the new chair, did not have a chance to work with staff on how to run the meeting and what's going on. So if you want to move it up, it's fine. With B, I'll gladly move that forward.
So I'm fine with B, then that makes good sense. I haven't heard that before, so that was good education for me. But I think bringing B up so these nice people don't need to sit through a half hour agenda item.
Okay, so if you withdraw the item D, we can move B up.
If I can make a comment, just so everyone's aware, the Academy recruits are in the room with us today, so you can see. And I like to think of it as this 50% for you to meet them, but it's also a learning experience for them to watch the commission. So they're instructed, they're going to sit it out the whole time anyway, so if you're looking to save them some time, that's probably not the right
So thing. Here's what I'd like to do. Yeah. Welcome to the
This is how the committees work.
Thank you.
But it's very much appreciated.
Thank you for hearing me out.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. I mean, that was actually a great recommendation, and I did forget that we had talked about that for the January meeting, which got canceled, that they were going to stay for the full meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I will call it in order. Irvine Lake Real Estate Instruments. I believe Joanne's going to give staff report on this.
Yep, thank you, Chair. So item 4A on your agenda is related to several real estate transactions for Irvine Lake. Back in 2014, both the commission and the board supported acceptance of 2,500 acres of donated open space from the Irvine Company around Irvine Lake. That's mostly the green area you see up there. This is complementary to the 20,000 acres we received in donations from donation of open space from the Irvine Company, which surrounds that area and is contiguous to some portions of that 2,500 acres. In 2014, an irrevocable offer of dedication was also proposed at that time that contemplated several real property uses, which was also approved by and supported by your commission and the board. The item before you today is actually a receive and file item because you've already heard a lot of the uses that we'll be talking about tonight. However, we do want to bring it up to speed since this is going up to the board to essentially be buttoned up at this time. This evening, I have our Chief Real Estate Officer, Matt Miller, here to help talk you through this item and give you a little bit more background. And our County Council of Real Estate, Michael Hubber, is here in case you have any questions.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Come on down.
As Joanne said, hi, my name is Matt Miller. I'm the Chief Real Estate Officer for the county. Some of you I know, Mr. Wellborn, long time no see. We've been working on these transactions for quite a while. Originally, there was a 25,000-acre dedication from the Irvine Company. It was followed up with 2,500 additional acres. When we did this in 2014 originally, these are sort of kind of the remainder cleanup items. The first issue that we're dealing with is the surface recreational rights in the lake. The ownership of the lake is kind of, we'll say, murky. Toronto Water District, Irvine Ranch Water District owned the lake bed, they own the lake. They did not own the surface recreational rights. So those were owned by the Irvine Company, 75%, and Toronto Water District, 25%. So one of our goals with getting the lake back then was to be able to do fishing, maybe some non-motorized watercraft on the lake. However, at the time, because of an agreement from the 1920s, we needed the approval of Irvine Ranch Water District and Serrano to transfer the recreational rights. kind of unrelated to us, there are a couple of other agreements between the water districts and the Irvine Company that had to be wrapped up that related to these access roads. You can see the access road over to the right goes over our property, but it also goes over some dry lake bed. So what we're doing here today is wrapping up the agreements. We are getting the surface recreational rights finally. We are converting, there is what's called a reversionary interest in the lake bed, which means if they use, theoretically, if the water districts use the reservoir for non-reservoir uses, it would revert to the Irvine Company. They don't really want a lake bed, we don't really want a lake bed. So we're transferring the reversionary rights into a covenant. So restrictions still say they have to use it for reservoir uses, but if they don't, there are other remedies rather than us owning a reservoir, which we really don't want. So you have not only us getting the surface rec rights, the transfer over of the reversionary interest into a covenant, and then the transfer of the two road easements. So we are giving them, the water districts that is, the access rights over the purple so they can access the reservoir. And then they are giving us the rights to go over the lake bed, which is in yellow. So these kind of wrap up the things that were started in 2014, kind of put a bow on it, and then it's going to start a new partnership out at the lake with us in the water districts. What is not in front of you today, but I'll just give you a little preview, is we are talking with the water districts about doing a joint RFP for the parks land out here, which is right now run by Gary James. He is also running the concessions for the fishing. And so that property, as well as the property that the purple goes to, which has been raised out of the lake bed, so it doesn't fill with water anymore. It's about 40 acres owned by the water districts there. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna get together, do an RFP to try to bring in somebody to do kind of a consistent park use. Hopefully continue the fishing concession and maybe do some non-motorized watercraft. So that'll come back to you in a separate item once we get that all drafted up. But that's kind of just so you see where everything's going. Michael, did I miss anything?
No, I think you hit everything on the head.
That's why I bring it. Okay.
All right. We'll break open up for questions. Actually, yeah, I'm going to clear public comment first. Do we have any public comment on the side?
No.
Okay. Close public comment. Director or Commissioner Schauber.
Do you have like the feasibility of using some water in that lake?
I'm sorry? Say it again? The feasibility of getting water in that lake?
Yeah.
Well, if I can make it rain.
Well, you know you can import.
Yes. And
I know it's expensive.
Right.
But, you know, we do have a recreational and fishing use there, and I know it's, you know, the Department of Fishing Game for fishing it. But, you know, I used to take my Boy Scouts there,
right,
and my family, and, you know, I visited,
yeah,
when I got on the board, I had to go back out, you know, just for old time's sake. Wow, there's no water there. And so I just thought I'd throw that out there, whatever it's worth.
Well, Commissioner Schauber, I would add that the fish stocking is done by OC Parks, so we're the ones that actually are putting the fish in the lake out there. Although our friends at Fish and Wildlife could be getting credit for a lot of things, not particularly that, since we are paying for that. And then, Matt, I don't know if you want to address like who actually owns the water.
Yeah, so the water is part of the reservoir. It is the water districts. We did previously have some discussions with them about the water line. One of the things that's going to happen out here pretty soon is they're going to be doing some work on the dam. So they probably won't be importing water before that. But once they get their dam work, pun intended again, done, then that is a discussion that we could have about maintaining kind of a consistent water line. And it is something that we brought
up. I mean, to me, it makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
I'm sure the water district would have no problem with that. You know.
Right, and I think once we get a concessionaire out there that's really going to facilitate that, and we know that any construction of the dam's done, then that will be an idea.
And post-construction, there is an incentive for the water districts to maintain the water at a certain level, because if the water is drained too far down, it's actually destructive to the improvements that they have out there. So there is an incentive to at least maintain a very basic minimal level, and anything above that, of course, is money in their pocket. So either they bring in water or they rely on Mother Nature to supply it. There is at least an incentive to have that base level.
Yeah, the other thing too, Mr. Chairman, is that particular lake had a lot of recreational value other than fishing and boating. I noticed that there weren't a lot of sundry or similar neighboring activities going on out there. You know, like having an event there. I know that we did have, you know, we do fishing out there as an offer, but, you know, maybe you can have, you know, a picnic area and people could go out and, you know, have picnics there, reserve that, kind of like we do at some of our other parks. I just think it's an awful big area that has a wildlife attraction to it. You know, looking at the trails that surround it, because I was hiking on them. I mean, I think we could really improve the recreational value of that, what I think is a jewel.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's kind of our next step, like I talked about, is that we're going to take our property along with the Flats property up there, combine it together, and then hopefully bring in somebody who's going to do events, whether it's Gary James or somebody who's going to expand that. So the goal there is to continue the park's mission out there, is to really make it accessible to the public by also adding on the water district's territory. So the hope is that we're going to get somebody who's really going to do you know, events and you know, sort of active recreation out there for people and really build around the lake.
Yeah, and Sheriff, I can.
We used to do concerts out there, right?
We've done some activities out there.
Right.
One of the things that we're working with Matt and his group on is examining, after we've sort of out the, you know, who owns what and getting the rights, and then there's like the maintenance that they have to do. At that point, we'll work with Matt to say, hey, if we're putting an RFP in place, what exactly are we asking for, and how can parks supplement that if it's, you know, providing other trail opportunities and recreation that's within our mission. So we'll work together on that in the next step. So your point's well taken. That's what our mission is and what we should be doing out there as well. It's a incredible asset for the community, and this is like sort of the, I mean, it's, and Matt, your staff's done great work, and you've done great work. I know that Michael has been, you know, we were hopeful that he would get this over the line before he retires, but so he did it well within that. But it's the first step towards many that will be opening it up.
Yeah, this is the beginning, and to your point, there are concerts that are done out there now. Gary James does some. Yeah. Previously, Serrano Water District used to do more. Those were a little bit more intensive. Yeah. But yeah, there are events. There are kind of, is it Oak Hill? There's a name for that.
Oak Canyon. And Matt, they continue to do those to this day, so they have concerts out from time to time.
But the hope is that you know, Gary James right now is on month to month, so to bring in whether it's him or somebody in kind of a longer term deal, we'll put an investment into the
problem. Appreciate it.
That's the
Commissioner Ashland.
Yeah. First off, is there still RV storage out there?
There is.
Yes.
And that's that facility is operated by.
It's operated under a lease, and the revenue comes to the county.
Yeah, Gary's operating it now.
Okay.
Yeah. He's operating everything kind of, we've kind of, as we've been trying to wrap these agreements up, we've kept everything kind of status quo. The RV's still there, Gary James' current operation. As we put out the RFP, we'll work with park staff to see if the RV use there is consistent, if it should move, and kind of how to handle that.
Okay, second point. We talk about, the water level, importing water. Importing water isn't too tough on that lake. Yeah, there's a great big pipe right there above the E on Irvine that goes directly to Lake Matthews. The Irvine Company can, the Irvine Ranch Water District can flip a switch and have water be going in there at thousands of CFS overnight. Okay, so it's not a matter of having to import water. There's water waiting at the end of the at the plug to pour into the lake from Lake Matthews.
Those are two different water districts, though, correct?
Oh, yeah. One is owned by Metropolitan.
Right.
But the water is already purchased by Irvine Ranch Water District.
And who's the water district that runs this one?
Irvine Ranch Water District.
Okay, so Irvine Ranch and Serrano.
And Serrano, so there's another district in there as well.
Yeah.
Michael, I just want to understand what you're saying.
No, my point is that filling the water, filling the lake, is not dependent on it raining.
Right.
It's not dependent on...
But you have multiple water districts that are operating the reservoirs.
And they have...
Now you're the politics.
And it's worked effectively for years.
Okay.
So I think the whole idea that we need to be worried about water level is, it's political.
It's called what it is.
Call it what it is. It's water.
Yes.
Okay. And having water in the lake, like we said, the water districts have a capital improvement plan that they're doing on the dam, the spillway, that's going to be happening very soon. I think that some of the water level is due to that, and that hopefully once that's done, we'll be able to work with them to facilitate a higher water level to get a little bit more fishing, boating, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So that is on our to-do list.
I think it's a great point that they're getting ready to do maintenance on it, so they're going to obviously drain.
And I think a lot of that is, and they've been warning us about that for years, and you know, so I think that is coming, and some of the reduced level maybe because of that.
Okay. Okay.
Just want to thank Michael and Matt for untangling the giant can of worms that the rights and ownerships of this area have been buried under for decades. I mean, I messed with it, you know, 20-something years ago. It was just like a red flag. Just walk away. Don't even think about it. So it's just really nice to see at least some stability come in the, and you know, it's been 20 years since I got to review an assignment assumption agreement. Really,
you think we're long enough, everything works out.
Amazingly similar structure. Anyway, thank you again.
Thank you.
Mr. Schauer?
I was just going to say, one of the other things is that the parking lot is pretty small, so if you're going to have events there, you may want to increase the size of the parking facility. There's no reason why you can't have concerts there or other major events and make it kind of a draw. Even though you may not be able to fish and the water level may be down, it's such a nice open area, especially in the evening, that you can have concerts at the lake. You could bring in and have major events. You know, we can compete with Coachella and some of the others. We work more forced to have. The other thing too.
Love your vision.
People that come in and do that, they pay good money to have an area where they can have that event. That money then you can use to put improvements in this organization back into that and make it better. If you had maybe 4 or 5 a year, quarterly, a major event, you'll bring in several thousands of dollars and you can put it back in the area. That would help finance what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And that is the goal. I don't know if you have, but the RFP will be for almost 100 acres, I think. I think we have 70-some and they have 30-some. Mm-hmm. So the little green peninsula that comes out to the left of the road and then kind of north of there, so it's going to be property that's going to run kind of right on the lake. So the hope is to, you know, we've got Gary out there now, but to really expand upon that concept to be able to do those larger events, whether they're concerts or other sorts of events.
You better take care of Gary if he drops off. Boy, this whole thing's going in the toilet.
Well, and I think what Matt was saying too is it addresses a little bit of what everyone's talking about here. So whether it be the events or whether it would be the ability to like generate revenue or incentivize the water districts to fill things up and keep it a certain level, that's all the things that we're going to look for in the RFP going forward is trying to incentivize all those things.
And that's an important point there is that with the joint RFP, with us putting in about 70 acres, the water districts putting in 30, that incentivizes us all to really be able to maximize to put the water in to expand those things because we'll be splitting the revenue.
Thank you.
Before this committee, we just recently got a presentation on a bike trail and a bike, that would be an ideal place to put that because people are always seeking somewhere nearby that they can actually go out with their family and have that type of activity. If I recall, we were going to put something like that near, was it Miles Square Park?
Craig Regional.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's even a better spot for it because you have some flat areas, but you also have natural hills. You wouldn't want to tear it up from an ecological point of view or environmental. But that's something that would draw people in. There's revenue and you can put it back in.
So there already is a mountain bike race there that happens with
the Yeah, I thought it's wrong.
Yeah, it's called Over the Hump.
Yeah, it's actually, and to your point, Commissioner, the mountain bike community does embrace this area, and we do have a very popular Over the Hump series that they is permitted by OC
Park. And this is the first time it's also in the winter. It's happening every other Saturday right now. Yeah.
Right. And so it is your point is well taken. It's an area that's embraced by the mountain bike community. We work with them to keep it in that area so it's environmentally sensitive as well. We're committed to the facility being at Craig Regional Park. We're well into the permitting with Army Corps there, and so we're hoping that that's going to be something that comes up in the very near future. But this area is utilized in the fashion that you're discussing.
I was just thinking about an expansion program that song. To me, very popular. Mm-hmm. I won't say the word dirt bikes because that would be, you would have 50,000 people.
Bill will say it.
Yeah. No, I don't say it particularly more now.
Exactly. Sure,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not about the ones with motors.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about too, David. Mm-hmm. I tried to put one of those in Miles Square and I got shot down. So, okay, any other comments from commissioners? All right, this is a receive and file. Thank you so much for your presentation.
Absolutely.
It's very
Thank
informative
you.
Tonight.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that brings us to item B, Park Ranger Academy presentation. You guys are up.
Well, I think Pam was going to tee it up.
All right, Pam's going to tee it up.
So if you're not familiar, this is Pam Passow, the Deputy Director of OC Parks.
Good evening, everybody. So tonight I would like to introduce Zach Salazar. He is our interim operations manager overseeing OSG. And he is so gracious. His wife just had a baby last week, and he is here just to be able to give us this presentation, and he's worked very hard on it. And behind us, we have our Park Ranger recruits, and Zach is going to give you some information on them and what we've been working on these past few months.
Thank you all for having me, and thank you to our academy recruits for taking the time to be here as well. I have nothing but the highest admiration and respect for the park ranger profession. I was a park ranger myself for 10 years before I eventually promoted myself behind a desk, as many of us tend to do. So what I would like to discuss tonight is sort of take you on a journey of what these fine folks have been going through for the better part of, well, since 2019, really, is when they started. So we're going to be talking about park ranger recruitment and training, and give you a look into their lives. So Mike, he's going to be handling the slides for me. So the recruitment process alone on itself is quite arduous. It takes quite some time. It starts with an application that our candidates fill out and submit. From those applicants, we tend to, at each one of these steps, we tend to whittle them down by about 50%. So based on their minimum qualifications, they'll either be referred to the next step, which is a written assessment, basically your standard sort of public service standardized test. From that, so either pass or fail, they move on to a panel interview. And then the real fun begins for those of them who pass their interview. They began the background investigation process that we work with the probation department to complete for us. That process can take well over a year.
Yeah, we saw those, by the way.
You know all your secrets. And then those lucky few that pass their background check, they receive a final interview with OC Parks, what we call a meet and greet, and then from there they could be offered a conditional job offer. Once a conditional job offer is granted, then they have to go through a medical eval and a psychological evaluation as well. If they pass those, they're given a start date, and then they onboard with me or one of my staff members and continue their journey from there. So next slide, please. So let's look at the recruitment that they went through, the 2019 recruitment. We have 1,453 applications received. 77 candidates were then referred to backgrounds of all those. From those candidates, 15 were invited for meet and greets, and from those, 9 were selected. So our hiring rate is effectively 0.6%, less than a percent. It seems low, and it is, but for many law enforcement agencies, they're not doing much better. But I'm actually proud of that 0.6% because it shows that this is the top 0.6% of 1,400.
Where are the other two?
I can get there.
Okay.
So
real quick question. Are you filling all the positions that you need that are open?
The answer is yes and no. The current status as we stand would have been a couple weeks ago, the answer would have been yes. We've had a retirement since.
Okay.
Right? So the process is, as we go through, we try to keep our 52 park ranger staff on board at all times. As they drop off, you can see when we start the recruitment, look at the date on top.
And I think that's the question I was asking. So, you're only filling the positions that are available. Now, this is unique because somebody retired.
Correct.
You'd already taken it down to 9 candidates.
Right.
So we're going to have an opening. Could you possibly call back the 10th candidate?
Well,
I don't know how they were
Right.
out. So
with this particular recruitment, we maximized every single candidate on that list, where we completely exhausted that list before we moved on and began another mm-hmm. recruitment. So we actually took every final person off that list and invited them to be part of the program. So obviously we have some keen eyes. 9 candidates were selected. You see 7 sitting here in front of you. One of those other candidates was a member of Ranger Academy class number 3. So had already been through this whole process. And so doesn't have to join this particular academy class. And there was an 8th member of this class that ultimately made the decision that the profession wasn't for him and decided to try other things, which we all respect and wish him the best. I always say that the park ranger profession is, it's not a job, it's a calling. So if you're not called, and luckily he realized that, then happy trails, he'll be on his way with something else. Yes.
Yeah, but so you go through this large amount of people, then you put some through the program and narrow it down to 15. Do you invite those that make it through a certain part of the program to encourage them to reapply, or how does that
work? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, that member of Ranger Academy class number 3, who was hired during the 2019 recruitment, RA3 graduated in
2012.
Yeah. So he's been applying to the profession since then. And he was a Ranger Reserve, he was a volunteer, so he really stuck it through. And when he finally made it, like everyone in our agency already knew this person. We all worked with him and loved him dearly.
Yeah.
So when he finally made it through, we couldn't have been more thrilled for him.
Yeah, I understand where the chair's talking about, because we have a pool that you've narrowed it down to 15. The only reservation I think I have, and I'll share with you, is that if you go just to that pool, you're also doing, you're not getting the advantage of the new group coming in that may be better than those people that made it through the, you know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine us having a better group of people than right behind
us. Here, I agree.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, once you get down to your final area, and then, so you go back to, let's say you're down to 9, but you were 15. If you were to go back to those 15 and get and open it up and compare those to a new group coming in, you may end up missing somebody. That's all I was commenting on.
If I may, the 15 that were referred to a meet and greet, they may have been referred to the psych and medical evaluation and could have failed or dropped on their own request at that point too.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah. So once they are given a start date and they start with those
quick questions.
Yep.
You brought 15 people through. They apparently had
15 people passed backgrounds.
Passed backgrounds. Yep. They went through the meet and greets.
Mm-hmm.
And but you only had 9 spaces available, correct? Or 10.
Yes, we basically filled.
So how did you vet those other 5 out? What if they're fantastic? How do you vet them out and narrow it down?
through the meet and greet process.
Yeah, so, Chair, so there's a couple of what Zach was...
My point being that past everything, we're meet and greet now.
Yeah.
So our goal is to only fill the number of spaces we have.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden we had a retirement. Wouldn't it make sense then to actually step back and bring that 10th person up that we could have used if they would have qualified? I don't know if they would have or not. But do you ever do that instead of waiting for two more years as you bring another
request? So the answer is absolutely, right? And then in this case, yes, we would if we could. What Zach is too nice to say is that of the 15 folks that came in for a meet and greet, there were 9 positions available. We hired 9 people. In fact, the rest, which we can't really go into, would have either not been a selection of the meet and greet, or they might have been referred on to the psychological and medical and then not passed that. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, what came out the end was the 9 we needed. Right? So there's nothing left on the list.
Coincidentally, we only had 9 that really qualified.
Correct.
Just had to have 9 spaces.
Correct. Yeah.
So if you didn't have, so let's just say we had 9 spots available, but only 5 people really, we would have just gone with 5 at the class.
Correct, and then just started a new
recruit.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just worked out numbers-wise.
Okay.
In fact, there was a slight, I'll just add one thing, just to add some more confusion to the whole thing. We were anticipating that there might be a retirement, right? And so what we actually did was we put an additional 9th person. We only had 8 spots free. We hired a 9th person. We put him into the academy in anticipation of when we would have this retirement. Mm-hmm. 2 things conspired against us. We did have a retirement, and then one of the individuals that was referred to the academy, as Zach mentioned, chose not to pursue the career.
Right.
So that, hence, we're one person short, in spite of our efforts to plan ahead for that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I've never worked for such a big company as the County of Orange, or for that matter, OC Parks. 1,500 applicants to get down to 15 or 9 or what have you. The first blush pass eliminated 1,400 people.
Well, no, the way he's presenting it is not quite that. What Zach was saying is about 50% at each step.
Yeah.
By the time you get down to the bottom, you're down to 15 people.
Are we not making the core requirements
clear enough?
Clear enough.
At the start?
At the start.
Can I take over for you?
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. You should have offered that 5-10 years ago.
If I may, I think in the beginning, when somebody is looking at the jobs, that we have applicants who apply for every single job that we have open. And then once they start getting into the process, they start to get eliminated because they don't have the qualifications or they don't have the passion for wanting to work.
So you say every single job is just not a ranger.
Correct.
There's a truck driver, and there's a nurse, and there's, how many different jobs are there that an entry-level person could get? Tom's job.
Even at Tom's level, we will have applicants who have no business applying for that job, who do not meet the minimum qualifications.
Are you a ranger?
No.
Thank you.
And so as you're looking at this and you're going through the assessments, what they're finding out is that they actually don't have the qualifications or the experience needed in order to be able to continue through the process. And Zach is, again, being very polite, but not everybody is made to be a park ranger. Our park rangers are peace officers. When they're going through that background check, we lose a lot of them, because they've made maybe some mistakes in their past, and so therefore they don't really have the clean background that we need in order for them to be able to move forward. We lose quite a few of them in that space. And so they basically are all ready to be police officers, but they have a passion for parks, which we appreciate. And so they really are squeaky clean. This is why they're so clean cut and have these great press uniforms on. And so we really are going
just
through.
Just missing the badge.
Yeah, correct.
If they're so close up, so close. And it's a really rigorous process. And I'm really proud of this group behind us, because I was part of that meet and greet, and not all of the people that we interviewed were ready. And even though they had gone through this great process, they just really didn't have. They might have the ability at some point, but not yet. And some of them, they were never going to get there. And so it was really wonderful to meet this group, and we were very proud of this group because they really showed perseverance and the aptitude to be able to do this, and they're smart. So it's rigorous on purpose.
Yeah, that I'm aware of was Mark Denny went through the academy.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
He asked me if I wanted to go through it. And I went, I'm 50 years old.
That's fun.
Have any other directors gone through the academy or one of the academies in the state?
My understanding is Mark is the, well, and I don't know, I don't follow it back. Some of the directors before had come up through the Ranger ranks and then taken that position. So it's certainly not unknown for one of the Rangers to be at the top spot in our organization. The Academy, as it is only existed since 2005, and so I look at the Grandpa Academy, that's a frightening term. But I'll let you get to that in a second. So the answer is it's kind of narrowed down. Yeah. So maybe our turn has passed us by in 2005. But yeah, the point being that
I joined the commission.
Those guys are just graduating now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I would add to, like, you know, it's a prideful thing. These folks, I take a lot of pride in. We take a lot of pride that our Rangers are like the top. Coming in, I understand the concern that maybe we can't fill them because it's a little bit rigorous. But what comes out the other end, it we're really just thrilled to have them, and we're very proud of them. And so the folks that are behind me, I literally get goosebumps every time I talk to them because I know what they've been through and I know what they're going through. And it's just, to me, an incredibly prideful thing. So I don't see the winnowing down the same negative light. I see it as like, this is what we need to have the Park Rangers and the quality that we have in our organization.
Go ahead, Dave.
So this would take 5 minutes. Is that okay?
What's going to take 5 minutes?
I would like to know from each one of them real quick. I'd like them to think for 15 seconds, and then I'd like to point at each one of them. I'd like to know something you learned during the academy that you have in your toolbox now that you didn't have before. Real quick, I'll ask the question again.
I'll tell you what. We have a slide where they will introduce themselves.
Awesome.
We can call an audible because they had some certain things that they wanted to share with you. But instead of your favorite thing at the academy, let's switch to that question.
The question is something you learned that you now have in your toolbox that you're really excited about that maybe one day you'll use while you're a park ranger for Orange County Parks.
They're never going to come back to a commission.
Never come back to the meeting.
Never come back. I think the office learned they're never coming back to this meeting ever.
Okay. You know what? I make a motion that we shut up and let them finish.
Okay, so let's get into the Park Ranger Academy once they begin.
Okay.
So the Park Ranger Academy has gone through several iterations, generations over the year, starting at 2005. When the Board of Supervisors granted our park rangers citation authority consistent with their level as peace officers in the state of California. So obviously when they were granted this level of authority, there was additional training that they needed to go through. So they went through a type of a rigorous training, an academy that they have affectionately named the Grandpa Academy. That did not come from me. And that was our first sort of formal academy session. Moving on to that next block structure, we have sort of the next generation of the Park Ranger Academy, 11R, 12R, and 13R. And those were in collaboration with the Orange County Sheriff Department, and they were Reserve Sheriff Academies. So obviously very law enforcement based, very focused on how the Orange County Sheriff Department does business, but was able to give our park rangers the training that they needed to succeed in their job. Obviously realizing that our rangers are more of a specialized job classification than your regular deputy, we then created the next generation of the academy. That's the Ranger Academy Series RA1, RA2, which I was a graduate of, and RA3. This Academy was in collaboration with Santa Ana Community College, as well as the Orange County Sheriff Department. They were kind enough to host our academy at their training center in Tustin. It was sort of your average semi-stress, lots of academic work, but way more ranger-focused than the other previous iteration. Now, those academy classes, RAs 1, 2, and 3, usually started around 30 to 35 participants. Not all of those folks were guaranteed a job or had been hired on before. So, for example, I was a Ranger Reserve when I signed up for RA 2. I went through on my own dime, on my own time, and fortunately, upon graduation, I was offered a job. And there were a lot of candidates like that in those generations. Because of that, they were very time consuming. They required a large academy staff, which was staffed by our Orange County Park Rangers as well as a couple contractors. The return wasn't really what we wanted to see out of it. Obviously, we're starting with a class of 35, but really only getting maybe 5 full-time park rangers out of it. It wasn't serving the agency's needs. So then we took another look at the Park Ranger Academy, and we had RAs 4, 5, and 6, which had an average class size of about 4. And that's because the only people that we put through that academy were those that have already been hired on as probationary park rangers. So we're not taking outside enrollment any longer. And as I said, those classes were about 4 recruits. 2020 came around, I found myself in this position, and RA7 was starting to ramp up, and we have 12 recruits that we were going to put through the academy. So our largest class since 2012, RA3. So I saw it as an opportunity to give them a little bit of flavor from all the other generations of academies, while still sticking to our core mission of training our rangers to be rangers. Not deputies, not anything else, but rangers. So we brought back a lot of the formality, the formation, sort of the formal elements that you would see in a reserve academy, while still focusing on the academic side of hard park ranger skills. And then here we are at Ranger Academy number 8, which models RA7 very closely as well. So next slide, please. So what does their training look like? Well, as I said, because of the Board of Supervisors requirement for training, as well as the post-standardized courses that they have to take to be considered peace officers in the state of California, PC 832, that's your laws of arrest and search and seizure, arrest and control tactics, Title 22, that's your first aid, CPR, AED, chemical agents, all our park rangers carry pepper spray, they have to go through that, including getting exposed. So all these fine candidates are really looking forward to being exposed to pepper spray for the first time, as well as your emergency vehicle operations, and CLETS, California Law Enforcement Telecommunication System, so the ability to run people over the radio, essentially. As well as our OC park-specific courses, which focus on scenario-based, true-to-life, what they're going to be experiencing day in, day out, working as a park ranger in Orange County. Next slide, please. So as we move away from sort of those law enforcement required courses, some of the more fun classes that they get to experience are obviously our resource management, ecology, off-road vehicle driving. They all walk away as National Association for Interpretation certified guides, so the ability to educate the public on the importance of our resources and why we're here to protect them in perpetuity. Wildland fire training is obviously more and more applicable as the years go by. And some other ones that are quite fun as well. Mental health first aid is a great asset for our park rangers, because not only on the peace officer side, for them to realize how they need to decompress and deal with a traumatic incident, but also how to assist the public through some of their more traumatic incidents as well as dealing with our homeless populations. Next slide, please. So we have a quick little video to sort of show what these recruits have been going through for the last several weeks. So I'll kind of narrate ourselves through it. So again, we talked about bringing some of that formality back, so teaching them how to stand at attention, march in formation. This instills a sense of camaraderie and pride. A lot of public speaking, get them comfortable speaking in front of a large crowds. Obviously, our medical aid training, off-road vehicle operations, something that we all do just about every day. I think we only have one cracked windshield that day, correct? Not bad. Trail maintenance. Studying hard at work. This is doing field surveys with our archaeo and paleo team. Citation writing. Some more marching. Good looking group. I'll go ahead and advance to the next slide. So let's meet our folks here. This is Ranger Academy 8. We began October 25th. They have a tentative graduation scheduled for March 2022. It's an 18-week academy, and they meet 2 days a week. Their other 2 days are spent at their assigned facility. And we now have 7 recruits. We started with 8, and I'm going to explain what happened there. So let's do our recruit introductions. I'll start down here with Recruit Slumsky.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Chad Slumsky. I'm currently stationed right up the street at Irvine Regional. To answer your question, Irvine Regional is a very busy park, so a lot of visitors, a lot of mountain bikers. So beneficial training for me was Title 22, the medical training. Just knowing if I come across somebody who needs my help, I have now the tools to help them out. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Megan. I'm currently assigned to Mason Regional Park in Irvine. Your question, I definitely think learning how to contact people, starting as you're walking up and observing the signs, and then meeting that person where they're at instead of jumping and, you know, maybe starting something worse. But meeting them where I'm at, or meeting them where they're at, de-escalation, and just contacting people as people instead of others.
Good evening, my name is Kevin Carrera. I'm currently assigned to Laguna Niguel Regional. I think one of the important tools that we have in our tool belt that we all knew but was highlighted is just our ears and to listen, be it at a medical to see what their injury is, or the times that we're dealing with, just people want to talk to us, and we have to de-escalate them. So listening is very important.
You'll make a good husband.
Hey, can you fix that pickleball thing for me?
Hi, my name is Jane Kim, and I'm over at Aliso and Woods Canyon. And one thing I've been learning is how to navigate between two sides of the party. There's always two different stories, and it's kind of being the political person to kind of navigate, kind of handle tense situations.
Hey, y'all, I'm Greg Ogland. I'm over at O'Neill Regional Park, and the thing I picked up that was the biggest thing in my tool belt was our NAI course that we just took. I love talking to people, and it really taught us on how to build an out-programmed outline or outline program, so that we can actually go from step A to B and C and then finish it all off and have a great program that gets the whole community involved.
Good evening, everybody. I am Brad Tchotik. I am up at Mount Square Regional Park, so if anybody's been to the Tech Festival this weekend. I would say probably the most important thing that I've learned, kind of touching on what some of these others have already said, is de-escalation techniques, specifically with homeless. We deal with a lot of pretty large groups, picnics, and people kind of quarreling over shelters and stuff. So, yeah, knowing how to get ourselves in the middle of that, stay safe, and then, you know, do a good resolution.
What would be one of the first things you do to de-escalate?
Find the first person that makes eye contact with me and bring them over to me. So yeah, somebody from either party kind of get them separated.
First person makes eye contact with you.
Usually,
with them.
If they see me coming, that's when I'm going to talk to them.
My name is Shelley Marshall. I'm assigned to Peter's Canyon right now, and definitely the most useful tool in my tool belt right now would be Title 22, which is our first aid training, along with verbal judo, which a lot of these folks have touched on, basically talking to people and learning to listen.
Okay, thank you, recruit.
Good job, guys.
So we said they have a tentative graduation scheduled for March 2022, but that's not the end of their journey there. Upon graduation, they will then be enrolled in a field training program, which they will be paired up with an experienced park ranger, usually more than one. Hopefully we're going to get four apiece. And their entire day will be observed, so their whole 10-hour work shift will be observed by a field training ranger. Each day they'll receive a daily observation report, which they'll go over the areas that they're succeeding and those that they might need to improve with. And their field training ranger will work them through those improvements, really imparting sort of all the years of knowledge and wisdom on them and making sure that they're set up for success when they're finally completely out on their own. And then, of course, we don't want to leave out all our other park rangers who have completed the Park Ranger Academy, completed field training, and even these folks here when they complete field training as well. Part of our mission at OC Parks, as well as where I work, Operation Support Group, is to provide reoccurring and advanced training of skills, not just to park rangers, but to all our staff. Some of the trainings that we've had over the years is safe chainsaw operation, bike patrol. Again, wildland fire is something that we do annually. Trail maintenance, we have to recertify our Title 22 every 2 years, as well as incident command systems, which with our wildfire and of course all our other large scale events and incidents, that's becoming ever more needed through our agency. Last
question?
Yes, sir.
On the list there,
yes, sir.
It said Freedom app.
Right.
Can you explain that, please?
So Freedom is essentially an application that all our park rangers have on their mobile devices, which is essentially a CAD system, so it assists with the dispatch process. Mm-hmm. They can receive returns if they wanted to check somebody's driver's license to make sure that it's actually who they say they are. They can receive that information back on their mobile device in a secure way. So.
Thank you.
And any other questions?
Good luck with the pepper spray.
I'll go for another question. Mr. Chair. So you guys all completed post-training, correct? You haven't done it?
Well, most of them have, because we've sort of hired them in blocks.
Okay.
We have two, right, that have not gone through PC 832, and everyone else has, right? Okay.
And are they in post-training, or are they still doing baton training? And isn't that an interesting process?
That's probably referring to what we used to call the Red Man.
Yeah.
They don't do the Red Man in PC 832. That might be a more advanced arrest and control tactic.
I did it 20 years ago.
So, they do their basic like felony search,
right,
and how to handcuff. Obviously, mm-hmm, our rangers don't do that, mm-hmm, but it's required by the state,
yeah,
that they have to go through the training.
Right.
So, yeah. No right now for these folks.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Chair, can I just add one thing?
Sure.
If everybody doesn't have questions, I just want to thank Zach. It's really much appreciated. I know that we alluded earlier that there was a new human at your house. Young future park ranger over there. And we really, we had a need today for, if we had had this meeting last month, Zach would have been doing the presentation. Obviously, conditions have changed in his life, but he was more than willing to step up and come in, and it's much appreciated.
It's the most rest he got all day.
Yeah, exactly. We were providing the conference from upstairs. If you'd like to take a nap before you head on.
Well, don't thank me, thank my wife. I wouldn't be here unless she agreed to it first. So.
You can blame it all on me if you don't want to go.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
Congratulations,
thank you
guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job. Okay, this another receive and file. So we're going to move on to item C, amendments to the commission bylaws regarding commission meeting time change and voting majority requirements. Am I going to do this?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. So this is item 4C in your agenda. We are proposing two changes to your bylaws. One of them was following a discussion that your commission had in November, inquiring about the possibility of changing your meeting time from 7 p.m. to 6 p.m. We did look into that. We saw that the ordinance that established your commission actually provides your commission the ability to select its own meeting date and time, so it's something that we can definitely do. We also did some research into the other commissions and advisory bodies with the OC Community Resources parent agency that OC Parks is under the umbrella of, and the change to the 6 p.m. meeting time does not conflict with any of their meetings. In addition, the 6 p.m. meeting time will also allow the general public who work the normal, 8 to 5 business hours to still come to your meeting and participate in the discussion. So we feel very supportive of that part of your bylaws change. The second proposed change is to actually add a voting majority provision, which will clarify the required affirmative votes that you would need to move forward with an item. Previously, this is not existing language in your bylaws. It's not recognized, and so we feel that having that clarity would make the administration of your commission a little bit easier. Just to clarify, first, this provision was approved by a board of supervisors. It's in a county bylaws template that was approved last July, so does not need to go up to the board for any sort of approval since it's already been pre-approved. And the simple voting majority provision allows a simple majority of your commission, not of the whole membership, but of the quorum present that night that is voting, to pass an item. So for example, you have four members needed to have a quorum if all four members vote, and three vote in the affirmative, your commission passes the item. So that is the second change in your bylaws that we recommend, and the two recommended actions before you this evening reflect those two changes. Happy to
answer. Joanne, I also serve on another county commission, mm-hmm. and we had to adopt the same language at our last meeting regarding majority to get the vote. What changed? Why is this coming up across the board? And actually, it should be across the board.
You want me to take that, Joanne?
I can't
actually, here's the thing. In your actual question, I can't answer what triggered the event. My understanding of what is being asked of us is consistency, right? So what I think the Board of Supervisors, when they looked at all the committees that they'd started and all the commissions, they were just striving for consistency within those. So they put out a template. They asked us to examine the things that maybe weren't consistent with that and then bring those forward. And this is just, that's probably why the other commission that you're on did the same thing at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We actually had a meeting that had to do with a land issue down in Newport Beach where we thought we had approved it or denied it, and then we're like, no.
It was confusing.
No, it was only three of the four, and it needs to be four of the seven, mm-hmm. or something along the lines of that. So we had a confusing evening here last year.
And Commissioner Hansen, that's exactly what Ms. Veder was referring to, is that we would like to have clarity, and it wasn't in the bylaws to give us that clarity. So what we were forced to do was consult with our county council, get like a ruling. I think this is a great for two reasons. One, it provides consistency with the rest of the county, and then second, it just gives us some clarity of action. So we kind of know.
When we leave here for the evening, we know if we're done or not.
Correct.
Well, this is an item that was really interesting to me, specifically because of that issue. And it concerned me that they were going to change the rules on this, especially when we're starting to talk about transferring lands and things. It just gave me pause to think about how this commission operates. And a lot of people, I don't think, understand that in the public, when you're appointed to a commission, you're actually beholden to the person who appointed you, not to the general public. And I always kind of looked at how we voted on things that we are here to carry the weight of our whoever appointed us and to make sure that we are on the same page as they are. David and I are unique because we're not appointed by supervisors. We're actually we're elected by the mayors of the county to serve different areas. So I'm beholden to all the coastal cities. David's beholden to all the inland cities in the county. And so I kind of like the way it was before, because it does give the appointees the ability to make sure that all five of them are here and that they're really carrying the weight of the supervisors. After I talked to Tom and heard about this, he kind of talked me into it, I guess is what it was, that this is okay, because I understand why the supervisors want it. You need to actually be able to advance items. And in certain cases, it's hard. You get quorum, but you can't get the majority of the board on the same page at the same time. But these items still need to advance up. So I'm okay with this. I'm going to support it. And I'll actually make the motion that we approve both of these items tonight. But just, it took me, David.
Are we going to keep our meetings on the first Wednesday of the month?
Yes, that
so
is
that's not changing.
Just correct. The time. Yeah.
Just the time.
So anyway, I just wanted to explain that to the general public who may listen to this later. It made me kind of understand it a little bit more why they would want to make this change. So anyway, I made the motion. We need a second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Is that both items?
Both items together. Or one second. Take it together. All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. All right. Great. Passes unanimously. This brings us up to the best part. We get to elect the new officers.
Yeah.
This is item D. Bylaws of the commission require that the commission elect a chair and vice chair. Since I'm the chair, I'm going to open nominations for the new chair, and I'm going to take the chair's prerogative and nominate John Coos, our vice chair, to be chair following him.
I'll second.
Any other nominations?
No, I'm good with that.
No, I'll go ahead and close nominations then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody? That's unanimous. All right.
So it's time to run this.
John, you're the chair.
All right. Director's report.
How about a vice chair?
What about
vice chair?
Oh, vice chair. All right. Yeah, I already screwed up.
You want me to take it back?
All right. Well, thank you. You did a great job.
Good start.
And I really appreciate the work with you on over the last 2 years on in the leadership position. So moving on to vice chair. Well, I won't take any prerogative. But does anybody have any nominations for this position? David?
I do. I would like to nominate Commissioner Schauber. For the short time that I've been able to work with him, I value his insight and I value his care. I think he's very capable. And I think he has our best interests in mind, and so I would nominate him to be vice chair.
I will take some prerogative. I serve with David on the chair's committee, and he is a great resource to me, so I'm going to second that. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
We did not have to do that.
That was fast politics.
Dave, you want to do a substitute motion?
Yeah.
We should have closed
down. No, there was probably a fail on this group.
All right. Okay, so, Tom.
Well, thank you.
For us.
And I'd also like to extend my thanks to, I guess, ex-chair Miller. That has just been a pleasure.
Once a chair, I was a chair.
Yeah, I always a chair, and there you go.
I was a chair.
But thank you very much for working cooperatively with me, and I really have enjoyed the process, so thank you. I'll keep it short, as is, I guess, my style. We have a couple things in the director's report. I'll just go through some of the happenings that are coming up here. You have in your list a few things that that were sent here. We're starting up our wilderness access days in the open space. That's going to be great. It's been shut down a little bit on and off for COVID. Those are managed access opportunities, so sometimes we have volunteers being in, but the proximity to the public has held us back a little bit, but we're starting that up again. I'll point out, like a highlight, I don't want to get everybody too overly excited, but this year is the 125th anniversary, the birthday of Irvine Regional Park. So at some point coming up in October, we intend to have a proper celebration there on the actual anniversary itself. So, you know, stay tuned for that. But they're starting at the park doing some programming with the interpretive staff out there. And so it's gearing up for the excitement, you know, on that facility. Sort of off of the things that were provided to you, we also have coming up, just to highlight that hopefully we'll be able to present to you before this opens, but they're getting ready for the large mammal exhibit at the zoo. There has been some news since the last time that we spoke. Our staff at the zoo, in conjunction with the veterinarians out there, have managed to work with the National Park Service to rescue a couple mountain lion cubs. So you might have seen some in the press there. Adorable. We got to see them while they were still small enough to actually handle. That's no longer the case. They are currently
kind of like my kids.
Yeah, exactly. They're too big to love at the moment, but they are. They're adorable. There's actually the mountain lion cubs that are there. There's also a jaguar that's now in the collection at the zoo. They're all passing quarantine and will be ready to go on exhibit at the facility. So with any luck at the next meeting, is that something that we're hoping to do as a presentation on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So
we were...
Can we do the commission? I thought we were going to go out there.
The commission a number of years ago, mm-hmm. when Santiago and Majeska came in, you know, the zoo director took us back and back behind the gates.
But we were going to do a field trip.
I thought we were doing a field trip.
So I think once the perhaps I think it's April that we have the field trip scheduled.
Correct.
Is that so? In April we can choose to go check out the new exhibit and then meet the animals out there, and we'll get you up close if you guys want to choose to do that.
Awesome.
It's up to you.
Should I be up and running?
Absolutely.
Then?
Yeah. The intention is that in sort of March is the time frame.
Got
you know.
It.
So knock on wood. You know, we're still a couple weeks from me getting absolute confirmation that it's golden, but it's looking better every day.
So this guy over here. That's your park, right?
Yeah.
Right. You're the lucky one.
Make sure you
all
get
the cool
up
stuff's happening in Irvine.
Yeah. Well, not all the cool
your
stuff.
Your badge depends on it being operational by the time
you get there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Hold on. Miles Square's duplex.
I'm
going to... That's true. That's a stupid weekend.
I'm getting to Miles Square. I will say the one thing that is, you know, just an awesome opportunity for folks coming into the zoo that this provides. The jaguars, their habitat used to be in this area, and then, you know, now it's not. And then the mountain lions currently are, some would say, too many in the parks. I think there's plenty of room for everybody. But the opportunity for the public to see these animals used to be here, these are the animals that here, and then have them side by side and be able to compare and contrast. It's going to be a great educational opportunity for the zoo. So I'd be more than happy in a couple months to have you out, and you can always convince me to get out of the office and go there.
We have a bobcat?
We do have a bobcat as well, yeah.
Those are
yeah. Yeah. So we can arrange for a behind the scenes tour for everybody.
Skid steer.
The other thing that I just want to point out is that we're gearing up and we have the Tech Festival at Miles Square Park. It's a fantastic event. It's one of the best things that we do all year. It actually kicks off tomorrow. And so we have, our staff has just been, particularly the folks that work at Miles Square and the communication staff, just working around the clock, you know, the last few days to get that up and running. And we're just super excited. Saturday is the big event at 5 o'clock. So if you want to come out, it's very popular. We get thousands of people that are coming out for that. This year we'll have that going on. I'm told that there's going to be a musical performance by the First District Supervisor.
Andrew's got his band.
Yeah, so that's something that we're looking forward to as well. And then it continues on through Sunday. And then the other thing I would just add is. after that's over, because there's not enough work for it. Who was it at Mile Square?
Let me see here.
Brad.
So because Brad doesn't have enough to do, on Monday, now they're going to break ground on the new 93 acres that we're converting from there. So we've managed to put that off until after the
That's the old golf course?
Correct. Yes.
Is there going to be a ceremony?
At the first district supervisor's request, there will not be at this point. We'll be having a ceremony when we're going to cut the ribbon to open it.
Okay. I want to put a shovel in the ground.
Well, you'll have to talk to my boss because he has chosen not to do that.
No, at some point down the road.
We'll get Brad. We'll sneak out there and we'll put a shovel.
Just cruise over there one night.
Midnight shovel. Just quick note. Anybody going from the 405 to get to Mile Square, avoid the Brookhurst interchange. It's been torn up for 2 years. It'll be two more years.
Oh, off the 405.
Yeah, off the 405. Yeah.
It's not going to be two more years. I said on OCT, we'll have that done up.
Well, and I did, just for your awareness, anybody that goes to the TAT Festival, behind me, I'm just requesting that you raise your hand if you've been required to work at the TAT Festival, or and then you're going to find that there's one person who's not going, so the rest are going to be putting in some overtime and working with us this weekend.
Take the Euclid exit.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. All right. Yeah.
And that's
actually closed.
Cool. Yeah, back to you, John. Thank you so much for that.
It's still closed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to the second to last item, commission comments. I just want to thank you guys for presenting the Craig Mountain Bike Park to the Brea Parks Commission. One of my best friends serves on that commission and said it was really great.
Cool. Thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions? Okay. Bert?
Yeah, that's
you. We're at it. Okay, good.
I was appointed or elected chairman of the County Airport Commission last week.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you.
Which would be kind of cool.
Are you ready to expand the runway?
No, people keep offering to take me up in their airplanes. I don't know.
Yeah, Chair, can I just interject? I'm sorry. I would like to speak out of order. I neglected because I don't want this to happen. So it's something that I tried not to process mentally. Bill Ryder, who's in the audience tonight, is our Parks Division Manager. I don't want to get emotional, but he's retiring, and you wouldn't know to look at it. You know, he's obviously counting down to his birthday and then taking advantage of the generous retirement that the county has. And, you know, I have some prepared comments that, you know, Bill started with his career here when he is extra help when he was in high school. And I would like to point out for everybody behind me, that was 1983. So that was, and I'm sure all of you remember that well. So moving forward from the 80s. Bill, what high school was it?
Tustin High.
There you go. And so
can't you make him come up and stand here?
No, no, he can't.
No. John, you're the chair.
Yeah,
come on.
Now, hold on.
Get up here. No.
Chiller pride. Chiller pride.
About right here.
There you go. Bill then moved on to the illustrious position of groundskeeper from there. He also then started working full-time for some mysterious reason 15 years later, moving forward, so I'm not sure what that lost years were, but we're not going to ask.
I was out of jobs.
Okay, and then...
Yes, that was part of it.
Yeah. But he started as a groundskeeper at Casper's Wilderness Park. He actually worked with John, back in those days, who's one of the other Parks Division managers. And I'm just told this morning there was a story where when they first met on the first day, John asked Bill what he would like to get out of his career, and he said, "Someday I would like your job." And then, lo and behold, he has finally achieved that. So it's kind of awesome. Bill, I will put you on the spot one more time. He has worked at 10 different facilities at OC Parks. He has worked as a groundskeeper, a park ranger, a supervising park ranger, and now a parks division manager. And, you know, I if you want to, Bill, can you rattle off all 10 facilities?
I can try.
Okay.
Starting in order, South Coastal, so Dan Point Harbor at the time, actually, just for me. Then I went to Casper's, and so at South Coastal, I was that was where part of my extra help was. Then I went to Caspers, then I went to Laguna Niguel as my first park ranger job. Then I went to Santiago Oaks, then I went to Peters Canyon, then I went to Irvine, then I went to Mason, and then I went to Upper Newport Bay, where I took over Upper Newport Bay plus Mason and a bunch of other facilities all at the same time. And then I stepped into the PDM role. So.
And then Bill, and I just, you know, one other thing too. Bill's like a dear friend of mine, and we've worked together, you know, sort of hand in hand for the last decade or more. And I I'm not ready to process that he won't be around. And it's, you know, we'll just all miss you. We've been talking about it all this week, so.
Yeah, you're really a nice guy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. He is the only nice guy at the Parks Department.
In comparison.
Yeah. Well, let's not drag him down to that level. It's just he's a wonderful asset to the Parks Department. We are going to miss him. I just wanted it to go with, you know, again, I apologize for not including it when I should have, but I really wanted to bring it up today. And, you know, of course, these times we don't have our giant staff meetings, and there's not the appropriate time or place to provide a tribute for Bill, but I thought this would be a good place for it.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So thank you, Bill, and I appreciate you.
There's going to be a retirement party at my house.
All right, so Bert's now chair of their commission. Are you chair of something new, too?
Mayor Dana Point.
Well, there you go. That's chair. But you got to get
I just wanted to say thanks to Bill. He did so much work for us down at Capo Beach, and he dealt with a lot of our residents down there that were very upset about the beach erosion and losing a lot of our infrastructure. Did a fantastic job, actually took a lot of heat off the city. So thank you for all that work. I'm not sure you understood the amount of heat you took off of the electeds down there, but we appreciate it. And I also want to thank this commission for allowing me to serve as your chair for a year. It was a real pleasure and interesting. It's in person, off person, it was kind of crazy year. So at least I got to do some in person, John.
Yeah.
But thank you for all that, I appreciate it. Looking forward to our new leadership.
Anybody else have any news of the week, David?
We lost him off the OCFA last week. We got a chance to give him a
plaque.
Oh, really?
No, you got a little statue.
A little statue, that was cool.
Now, you do a good job no matter where you are, and it's always been a great pleasure working with you over the years. You know, sometimes people don't listen to it, so let's try.
That's all we can do. Thank you, Dave.
What did you do to your arm?
Tore my bicep tendon, then had it repaired, and then tore it again.
Oh. Yeah, nicely done for us. I believe your quality is just really high, and I think your care is matched and is really high. And so when you are leading our meeting, I feel well represented by you. So thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Michael, you got any beautiful things to say?
We served like 3 or 4 meetings together.
On November 20th, my daughter had our first grandchild.
Oh,
so we're still adjusting to that.
So now you're Grandpa Michael, all right?
Yeah,
so you're part of
it. Yeah. I do get to sleep at night, unlike my daughter, who doesn't sleep much right now.
I had lunch today with Mark Dennis.
Did you really?
Yeah, he said the three of us should get together.
We should. He told me that when I first got on this. He goes, we need to So I'm in.
John, I had a quick question. You know, with the redistricting, is that going to affect any of our appointees in the district? Mm-hmm. Or is that pretty much stuff?
I couldn't be affected by it. Because Katrina's down District 5.
Well, right. Yeah. She can appoint whoever she wants. We're
but I think you have, do you live in that part of Costa Mesa too?
No, I live in Fountain Valley.
But can she appoint you to the District 5 representative even though
she
you don't
could,
live in
if
District
she
5?
Had, if she was so interested, yeah.
Really? I thought you don't have to.
You don't have to live in the district.
I did not know that.
I think you have to live in the
I learned
United
something
States.
New my last night is chair.
But you know what? We serve at will. Yeah. You know, it is what it is.
I just don't want to lose
that. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Let the terms run through the rest of the character.
My understanding, and if I can share, that we did, when we were looking into redistricting and the effects that it would have on the Parks Department, that was one of the things we examined. We found out that there was no requirement that anybody live in the district to be appointed.
Right.
Therefore, I think it will continue throughout the term of the supervisor, mm-hmm. Unless they desire to make a change.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Like any other time.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Exactly. Well, two are up for election, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because you're in or out of the area doesn't make you lose the seat.
Correct. And so we did examine that just to make sure. And
so did I, because I didn't want to lose this income.
Yeah. How much?
Yeah. What is his rate?
I'm going to complain.
It's all relative.
I am. I think it's absolutely absurd that the county finance department takes taxes out of our stipend.
It's a law.
Oh, it's we're technically W-2. That's okay. Right.
The commission comment?
This is
did we swing into commission?
Well, that sounds like
that's what we're doing right now.
That sounds like something that we can't get into. It's on the agenda. I want to know who our shop steward is. All right. With that, we're adjourned.
Actually, I did have a comment.
Daisy got one more comment.
I would like to. My comment is to have staff. So the people that spoke here tonight, I was surprised by the group. They were very passionate about pickle. Yeah. Heard a lot about pickle. While I haven't played it yet, but I have acquaintances of mine that are playing it a lot down in that area as well. I would like staff to look into that right away, and it only makes sense to mark up the courts. And you get that in soccer and football at the high schools where you have two different things laid out. I think that would be easily taken care of right away, and pickle's really popular right now. So I would like to see staff work on that sooner rather than later. I think that's an easy fix and can make a lot of people happy. The biggest key to that, and he spoke about that, and I made a quick note, the amount of people that go to Elks Lodges, Rotary Clubs, Chambers, Churches Down, Old Bridge Clubs, they're getting together and they're enjoying each other, and they're doing it in our parks. And that was another piece. There's not as much get-together as there was in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. So I think that's a neat play. Okay, it was really nice seeing that many people get together. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they're not at a restaurant spending some money and having a couple of drinks.
But, and so. It's, if I can, and I know that we've adjourned, but your comments are appreciated. And then during the course of time, when we do have a large group of people that come in and make comments, we always address it internally after the meeting and then look into the issue. Often I would caution that sometimes they're presenting one side of an issue, and we take a full look at it and then probably determine
the. This is the only time that I've asked staff to do something right away in however many years I've been here. That one made sense.
So
I understand.
Yeah, we will look into it, like I said, I appreciate the direction, but to some degree it's unnecessary, because when we do have a large group of people like that, we do take it seriously.
All right, thanks, David. All right, we are adjourned.
John, you want to say one more thing?
Good luck.
Really?
Uno más.
Yeah, go ahead. There's
two
things. I had a chance to work with Bill Mack at OCTA, and we had talked about rails to trails. And so I wanted to see if we could maybe work with the state, you folks, to see if we could bring that to the empty city to improve the parks that we already have. And then also, I'd like to maybe, if we could ever have one of these meetings out in the inland city, because my inland city don't even know that this exists. And I think it would be good for us to take this to them and hold it. I'd be glad to host it. We're surrounded by seven inland cities in Stanton. We can have it sit in Central Park. We have a facility much like this with that. So if you guys want to think about maybe doing that, I think that'd be good to introduce that neck of the woods to us. That's all.
Thank you.
Sounds like anyone else?
Like a
before I adjourn for the third time.